Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Isagro as of December 31st, 2015 presentation. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giorgio Basile, President and CEO of Isagro. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good morning. I try to recap the key information regarding last year, and I would also like to spend a few minutes in recapping in highlighting what we are doing with regard to the strategic guidelines which we have modified significantly 3 years ago and which are still keeping adjusting to reflect the experiences of the last 3 years. Okay, first of all, 2015. Well, we increased, as expected, our sales turnover, including the revenue from licensing, so increased by 7% from 146 to 156. With regard to the EBITDA and the before taxes, the component linked to licensing, represented by 7 million euro, went down along the economic, the P&L, went down to EBITDA and before taxes as at same level as revenue. Consequently, the growth for the EBITDA exceeds 50% for the reason I explained. At the net result level, we have a 3 million profit versus 1 million loss last year. This is, I would say, the first time after the many years we achieved a positive result without any extraordinary deal. I say without because it is not to be considered extraordinary. The revenues are not to be considered extraordinary, the revenues are generated through our licensing activity. Even so, it is to be recognized that there is been and there will be a sort of discontinuity in terms of a level of revenues generated by the licensing. In other words, if in the last 3 years the average has been an annual revenue of 6.3 on a year-by-year basis, it has been 10 in 13, 2 in 14, 7 in 15. So that's what I'm trying to say. So we don't know, it's difficult to predict the annual level, but our experience is, and our expectations are, that there is a component of ordinary activity which gives a erratic level, but still being within the ordinary activity. It is ordinary because we do not divest any asset. We simply negotiate deals, and we succeed in deals whereby we assign rights retaining our intellectual property and creating the condition for future income generated through the licensing, because on top of the 19 million I mentioned, we generated in 13-15. On top of that, we expect to get revenues and margins in the coming years by virtue of, in two cases, margins from selling active ingredients, and in one case through royalties which we shall generate. So this licensing give some money when we sign the deal and the future money. In any case, they have become an important, very important component of our activity. So we call it ordinary, and I repeat, we didn't have any extraordinary, any sale of asset in 2015. With regard to the financial side, we have increased the net financial position by 17-18 million euro, 17 and a half, but this is totally to be associated to the net working capital increase. So there is a correspondence between the increase of the net working capital and the increase of the financial debt. First of all, let me comment that in spite of the increase, we have a ratio of net financial debt versus equity, which is about 0.63, correct? Okay. But what is more important is that the net current assets are at a level of 64 million, so that the whole debt is against the current assets, nothing against the fixed assets. Not only, but 17 million, which is about 23-24% of the current assets, are financed by equity. So I think that this data prove that financially speaking, we feel to have to be in a very sound position. Apart from the net working capital, and consequently, apart from the increase of debt because of the net working capital increase, we have not absorbed cash during the year, so we were able to generate all the cash necessary to finance our investment, our increase of fixed assets. I could say that it was a marginal cash generation of 0.4, so let me say that we are balanced. And this is good, because this is the first time after a number of years we have not absorbed the cash to support our investment project, which we never stopped, which we kept at the necessary level, but in the past years absorbing some cash. Based on this, the board has deliberated to propose to the General Assembly, which will take place at the end of April 28th, to pay a dividend, which is certainly a small dividend, 2.5 cents for the ordinary share, which becomes 3 cents for the gross shares because of a 20% premium, which is indicated in the bylaws, which was deliberate. When we issued the gross shares, we anticipated the intention of starting distributing dividends in 2016 on the basis of the 2015 results, and we are happy to say that we are in a position to confirm it. On the basis of yesterday market value of the two categories of shares, the yield is 2.5 for the ordinary, 2.5% for the ordinary, and about 4% for the gross shares. Of course, this is based on yesterday values, which means that in percentage-wise, the yield is not so low. But we are fully aware of the fact that the market value of our shares is particularly low. We outlined it many times, and we keep outlining it. Let me say that the market cap of yesterday evening, today the shares have gone up, but yesterday the market cap was representing 35-36% of the equity, and the equity is definitely not fully representing the value of our net assets. Net assets, of course, when I say net assets, I mean after taking out all the debts, all the liabilities. So we have an equity, a book value of the equity, which we can say with full confidence, which definitely underrepresents the value of our assets. In any case, even looking at the book value yesterday and the same in the past weeks, we were around one-third of our book value. Now, apart from the absolute level of the prices of our shares in the market, which may certainly be the result of the past year's performance of the company, what is really difficult to be understood is the spread between the ordinary and the gross share. The gross shares are more liquid than the ordinary in the marketplace. Of course, not considering the ordinary shares in the hands of the controlling system. So the liquidity is higher for the gross shares. The economic value in terms of possible dividends is higher, as proven but this is because of the bylaws. When there is a dividend, there is an extra dividend of 20%. So what could be the reason for a price lower than ordinary? I would imagine something higher than ordinary, but lower is very difficult to be understood. The only possible explanation is that the market has not registered the fact that before any possibility of compulsory offer to buy the shares from a following a change of control, or in any case, before any possibility of that happening, there would be no gross shares any longer because they would be converted into ordinary on an automatic basis because of what is included in the bylaws. The bylaws says clearly that if the controlling party, which exists in, for example, goes below 50% of the stake, its stake of ordinary shares, so losing goes below 50%, even without anyone getting the control, goes below 50, automatically the gross shares become ordinary. In my opinion, this has not been understood. Or, I don't know for what reason, this is not transferred to the potential investors. In any case, this is the only logical reason I can imagine. Any other reason is difficult to be developed. Now, going to, so the messages to the investors are very clear. I mentioned that to you, but now I would like to devote a few minutes to represent the updating of our strategic guidelines. And this is very, very important because we have learned year after year two, three things. One is that we are confirmed to be, we have a confirmed to be able to generate new molecules. And we'll keep doing that. Second point, we were wrong in developing the molecules by ourselves. So 3 years ago, we made a deal with the U.S. company FMC to co-develop 50/50. Now I tell you that even 50/50 exceeds our, is not compatible with our dimension. The investment in development goes up continuously. Even 50% is not what we have to do. Of course, we look for licensing of our product, including the SDA, the new product, the new molecule we are developing with FMC. And that's in order to do what I said before, to find parties who invest in the development of pieces of the rights associated to the intellectual property related to the new product, which belongs to a very important fungicide class of a product. But now we think that in future, for the future molecules, we have to follow a different approach. Namely, once we have patented the molecule, once we have invested a few million euros to make sure that the molecule deserves to be developed, then we must negotiate with certain parties the right to develop, retaining for us not 50, not 45, but the stake of which we think is compatible with the financial resources we generate, keep that following two basic criteria. One, it is better to allocate the money on not only one molecule, but on two or even three, if three are available, investing for a portion of the three rather than putting a higher, rather than betting on a higher stake of only one. In other words, we have to reduce and fractionate the risk associated with investing on our invention. So we have to make the money. How? Being recognized values for licensing rights at instant zero before starting the real development. This can also be obtained by having different stages. So a certain value initial, another value after 1 or 2 years, a third value after another 2 years, when, in other words, the risk gets reduced. In this way, we delay some revenues, but we can get more. Second point, from the licensees, we must get royalties for a long period of time, and in addition, we develop the pieces of rights which are compatible with our financial resources and our size. This is what we shall do with the new Monix, not the one we are developing, but for the future Monix. This is an important adjustment of our strategy. In other words, I want to license before starting developing and not after we are committed to further development. This, I repeat, reduces the risk, fractionates the risk on more projects, and in this way we also free up financial resources to develop the biosolution piece of business, which today represents only 10% of our turnover, but it has to go up to 20, 30, 40, why not 50, and also developing off-patented generics, which are complementary to our specialties, or in any case, which are considered opportunity to be caught. Now, this is something which is important for us to make clear to our investors, because it is not a change. It is along the line of what we started 3 years ago, but it goes further. I hope I didn't. I was clear enough. But to summarize, we invent molecules by ourselves. We pre-develop to make sure that the molecule deserves development, and we do it by ourselves. But that's not much. That's not a lot of money. It's relatively speaking little money. Then we license before the real development starts, and we retain for us the pieces which we get. Hopefully not for one project, but for two, and perhaps three projects. Then we allocate resources to the biosolutions, including possible acquisitions of pieces, perhaps small pieces which are compatible with our portfolio of bioproducts, and we also, on an opportunistic basis, may develop some of patented products. In this way, we reduce our risk, and we widen our investment, areas of investment, and consequently our portfolio of products. And this is important to justify why we invest on the commercial side by creating some local companies, by hiring people, because we must give more products to the commercial organization to exploit values. This is our updated business model. I hope I was clear enough. I will stop here and ask for questions, if any.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask to use handsets when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. As a reminder, to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. We are about to close the question and answer session. Please press star and one for questions. Mr. Basile, there are no questions at this
Very good.
time.
Thank you very much indeed. Have a nice day to everybody.